dreary, dank, gloomy. Oh, and you thought I was talking about the weather. I was. Had a little dreary, dank, alarming episode this morning I'll share coming up. But hopefully you're navigating all of the rest of it all right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower here on the Horn. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Thanks so much for joining us. Jeff Howe will be along momentarily. They are wrapping up this week's edition of the Longhorn Blitz podcast, which you'll be able to hear tonight at 7 o'clock on the Horn, as Matt Butler quarterbacks that. And, of course, the two big playmaking targets for that show, Rod Babers and Jeff Howe, are holding forth right now. So anyway, they're finishing that up, and Jeff will be alongside momentarily. Our producer, man behind the glass, Jonathan John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. How you doing this morning, Snooper? You all right?
I'm trying to get into the hooping mood.
Yeah. Now, for folks who don't know, obviously, with the end of the high school football season, which concluded over the weekend, and with that being done, it does not mean the end of the Flex ATX season. Oh no, it rolls right on into basketball. Now you do have one final look back, long kiss goodnight, farewell nice. Look at the 2020 dash turned into calendar year 2021 high school football season coming up on Flex ATX this week, right?
Yeah, well, and you know what? Zach Lucero, because I was going to go full bore basketball. I'm like, football's over. Let's give hoops what they deserve. And Zach was like, you have to do one more. He was like, this has been such a great long season.
Well, you can do both. I mean, it's not like you can play. I mean, like when you were doing football early on, you were still doing volleyball too.
Yes. Okay.
You can, and I'm not far be it for me to tell you how to do your
show.
Well,
you're my mentor. I take your...
But, and for folks who were saying, well, when is the show? When's it? It's Thursday night.
8 to 10.
8 to 10.
After Longhorn
Weekly with Shaka. So, Thursday night from 8 to 10. And it's a very entertaining listen, as Snoop invariably is entertaining. So, you can, obviously, I agree with Zach in that it's good to have one final, put the bow on the package thing and then put it away, that kind of thing for the 2020 high school football season to look back. You've got all district teams you're rolling out, right?
Yes. And I am not trying to show up other media outlets.
How would you be doing
because
that?
Because it's been said in the past that I go too far on that by getting them out so fast. But
who's saying that?
Well, it's been said in the past, like peers, like
come
I don't
on,
know. Oh no, 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 no! I'm not.
Name
I'm not.
Names.
No, 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 no. But somebody told me that I am one-upping media outlets by putting that out so fast.
Okay. A, that sounds like something somebody from a newspaper would say. B, are we all supposed to just wait with bated breath until it comes out in the paper? And I'm not necessarily saying it's the States, but I'm just saying that's what it sounds like. And you don't have to answer the question, but it sounds like it's that. Or whether, even if it isn't, even if it's another media outlet, why should we have to wait if you already have the information? Look, anybody goes on social media sees coaches are already tweeting out their. I just saw this morning. This is gonna shock you. Quinn Ewers of South Lake Carroll was named the district offensive MVP. Big surprise there, right?
He's very good.
But it was announced. It was on South Lake Carroll's Twitter site. I don't think Riley Dodge did it. It was on South Lake Carroll's Twitter site. They announced it. The word comes out with the all-district teams. You're not supposed to just sit back and wait for everybody else to do it at the same time. Nothing wrong with that.
Thank you.
So toward that end.
I almost like think of it like, this is a little crazy, but like, this is a far-fetched. So like when Jesus died and the veil...
Boy, I can't wait to see how this goes.
And the veil tears at the, I don't know. And then the
burial shroud?
Yes. That's what I know that's like a weird way to analogy it.
Yeah, that's real weird, but go ahead. Go ahead.
But that's kind of like how, like, I don't know, like I picture, like, state is over or the last team loses and the info is released.
Yes, it's out there. Because like you said, until the final team in a district loses, that district does not release its player of the year and all district team, right?
Correct.
It doesn't do that. Now, you've already had it, say, in 25-6A, right? All district teams already been announced, right?
Yes.
Same thing with, 13-5AD2. It's already been announced, right?
Everybody except 26-6A right. And 11-5A.
And 11-5AD1 because Cedar Park played last Friday and Westlake played Saturday, as we know. So those things being released, there's nothing. Once they're released, they're released. That's the point. Nobody's obligated to wait until all media outlets are ready to publish or broadcast said teams. It would be different. I would say this. If you were releasing that information before the district did, somebody gave it to you, but said, hold it, embargo it.
That's what I'm always told when I'm given it.
Yeah.
Don't
until said day. And you wait until the date, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes 5 minutes after.
Hey, you waited until. It's just like when we bring folks the news conference on Mondays, the Longhorn football coaches press conference. That's when we also find out the television network selections for 2 weeks down the road, or in many cases, the 6 day selection window. When we find out, they say hold until 10:30. The Big 12 will say hold until 10:30. At 10:30, we're talking about it because I'm following the orders. Don't release until blah, blah, blah. And we do. We follow the rules. And then when they say it's ready to do, then you do it. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Hope you weren't made to feel guilty by some other media outlet for being relatively instantaneous on your announcement of their release.
Not this year. But
journalism 101. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. And I would say in a world where everybody's always trying to be first and quick, and sometimes that's at the peril of what's right and true and accurate. This has nothing to do with it. That's accurate information. You're just releasing it at that time. That's all. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. Nothing is, as my friend at Office Depot says, that don't make me mad at all. You know, thank you, Josh, there at Office Depot. That don't make me mad at all. So, Bevo Lance Jason says, got it, Snoop. So now we're waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain to read the Ten Commandments.
Correct.
Right?
40 days have passed. The fast is over.
Yeah.
Let there be leaven and...
and listen, it just so happened that if some relative of yours was waiting halfway up the mountain, you know, and Moses comes down and hands and says, hey, take a look. Here's the Ten Commandments here. But they've already been released by the Almighty, you know. What's wrong with you retweeting it, right?
I like this biblical social media parallel.
Something like that. Okay. All right. So, anyway, you'll be talking about it on Thursday night, right? Release of all district
Correct. Teams.
Okay.
And in our one and only personal thing is, and I'm really proud of this, is and I remember the first time we did this, it was a guy named Jason Mansoor was the Austin High quarterback. It's like 2013. We do something called the All Super Soft List. And it's all the area's top sophomores because they're basically going to headline our coverage for right. The next 2 years.
Okay, now is this something that you
This is
created?
Our personal yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right.
And so that's
which
the only
started off with the old fan stand site, mm-hmm. And of course now it's Flex ATX. So you started this. What are you calling it? Super soft.
All super soft team.
All right, this is all super. Nothing wrong with that. That's nice. Mm-hmm. All right, so you got that coming on Thursday also, right?
Yes. Fun show.
Do you have a super sophomore player of the year from that team?
You know it.
He wears number 9 for Westlake. I just want you to know that, by
yes,
the way.
He was actually our overall MVP.
Yeah, well, there you go.
In
I'm just
6A.
Guessing. I haven't even seen your deal, and I can tell you, it's number 9 for Westlake. It's Jaden Greathouse. Mm-hmm. I think that goes without saying. I think everybody would nod their heads in agreement. Not that there weren't outstanding sophomores all across the area in all classifications, because there were. No doubt.
Yes, we break it down, Craig, to do 6A, 5A MVPs and offensive linemen MVPs. Our sophomores are so important to our future, so we really want to big up them this year and encourage them to keep working hard.
Good on that. All right, so just 6A and 5A? So if you got an outstanding sophomore from LBJ, he's not going to be recognized?
He is. Cedric Alexander, okay. He's on the list.
Right. So you've got, you've got 4A and others mm-hmm. or something. Okay, yes. That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Well, man, you're so good.
You know me. I'm just about inclusivity here. I'm just saying, you know, so there we go. All right, so that's coming up Thursday night, 8 to 10, Flex AT. But you'll mix in a little hoop, right?
We will.
Because hoop is well underway. It's in the throes of district play now.
Yes, and you know, some schools are tougher on allowing people to come in and cover it. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is just a parent and plus one, okay. Almost like an exclusive club to see these basketball games. It's why with Rick Epstein at IHS Fan, it's really important what he's doing, and hope that more people jump on board because we can't see these games a lot of times.
Okay, so I'd like to start here a Snoop Watch. So because Tuesday nights are big nights for you to go out to games, right?
Yes.
And or Friday nights, right?
Both.
Yes. So I'd like to start a Snoop Watch. Do you know yet where you're going to be tonight?
I don't know yet. Okay. I was thinking about...
Kind of hard to start a Snoop Watch without knowing where the man is, but that's okay. So you don't know yet?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. And then based on the results of tonight would help form and help determine where you might be on Friday.
It's Friday. Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. All right. I know where I won't be on Friday night. It won't be in Fort Worth. I thought I would be the night before Texas plays TCU. That's not happening. You probably heard the news yesterday. The Longhorns now have 2 unplanned open dates on the schedule. In fact, if everything had held the form, I would not even be on the air right now. I'd be on a plane to Des Moines. I would have left at 8 o'clock this morning and would have already by now been on my connecting flight from DFW on my way to Des Moines, Iowa, because Texas, the Longhorn men, would have been playing at Hilton Coliseum in Ames against Iowa State tomorrow night. That didn't happen, as we know. That was set aside on Sunday. And then the Big 12 announced yesterday that a couple of other games were postponed, and that included the Texas-TCU game Saturday in Fort Worth. In addition, that TCU's game with Texas Tech scheduled for tomorrow night in Fort Worth also set aside. Horned Frogs dealing with protocol issues, including their head coach, Jamie Dixon, who's tested positive. So there's no – that makes 3 games now postponed for the Longhorns. Not only does it make it 3 games, it makes it 3 road games that have been set aside. Now, 2 of them are within reasonable driving distance. Waco, remember, that was where the conference opener was going to be at Baylor, and the game in Fort Worth this Saturday. So there's that, and then one long plane trip, and that's Iowa State. But there's still 3 road games that are going to have to be made up. And this has brought about a bit of debate, growing debate, because Texas clearly isn't the only program affected in the Big 12 Conference. In fact, I believe now that every single Big 12 Conference team will have been affected by a postponed conference matchup. Texas Tech, I heard the other day, was, I think, the only one that had not had a postponed conference game or postponed or canceled because, you know, there had been non-conference games that had been wiped out. So a postponed conference game. Well, that's changed now because Tech's game in Fort Worth tomorrow night against TCU is now pushed back to some point. Baylor's had games postponed. They had a couple rescheduled, by the way, the one against West Virginia that they were supposed to have. West Virginia clearly has had issues as they've dealt with the pandemic and the virus and the protocols and all of the other things that have happened as a result of that. And Baylor was able to learn yesterday of their rescheduled contest with West Virginia. The Big 12, if you go to the Big 12's website, it's more about schedules, adjustments, and postponements than it is anything else. Two games were announced yesterday that have been rescheduled. West Virginia at Baylor, which was going to be January 12th, now is going to be Thursday, February 18th. And West Virginia at TCU, which was scheduled for February 22nd, has been pushed back one day instead of a big Monday to a Tuesday game. Here's the interesting thing. Because West Virginia is involved in both of these road games, they have been rescheduled for 4 o'clock in the afternoon on weekdays. This is yet another byproduct, another unintended consequence, another result that has happened because of postponed games due to protocol things, whether it's contact tracing or positive test or both. Now, in the case of long road trips for West Virginia and to Baylor and to TCU, those games are now set not only for a weekday to be made up, and they were weekend games initially, but they're also now going to be afternoon games so that they can get the Mountaineers back to Morgantown and get them back, you know, for class the next day. They're going to be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So those two games were the makeup dates were announced for that. But even as that happened with the one game for TCU against West Virginia, they had two more games postponed. The home game I mentioned with Texas Tech tomorrow night and the one with the Longhorns on Saturday. Both have been postponed. The Big 12's conversation is the conference will work with the institutions to reschedule. Part of what I was told about some of these things is that for a time, and part of the reason rescheduled dates were not announced was because, and here's the key words that's in these releases that come from the universities and also from the conference. It says the conference will work with the institutions to reschedule. Let me read that again. The conference will work with the institutions to reschedule. Now, the reason why I say that is because the very definition of that statement has changed over the past week or so from what I've been told and what I understand. It was initially what it says. The conference will work with the institutions to reschedule, where it was like, hey, what works for you guys? What works here? What works there? What really is happening here? And there was such an argument, a disagreement over when they could play these games because, well, that doesn't work for our travel schedule. Well, that doesn't work with our testing. That doesn't work with our protocols. And it was going on and on, and things were getting pushed back. Finally, from what I've been told, is that the Big 12 Conference stepped in and said, all right, enough. We'll tell you when you have to play the game. And you will have to work your schedule around it. Because everybody, to borrow the old phrase from my dad, every man has his own sack of rocks to tote. In other words, everybody's got their issues. Everybody's got their things they have to deal with. But there has to be a common ground where we can get these games played. So the conference is now, from what I understand, almost completely solely dictating this on when these games will be played. Now, are they, quote-unquote, working with the institutions to reschedule? Maybe, especially on times to play the game. But by and large, the conference is going to settle in on the date and say, this is when you have to play. You got to get it in, or you have to get it in by this date. You could have these three dates. You have to get it in by this date. We just saw the UIL do it with the six-man Division II state championship when they couldn't play the Balmoray-Richland Springs game back on December the 16th. They said, you got 1 month when 6 a.m., 5 a.m. end on the weekend of January 15, 16. Find a day in there. You've got 1 month to get it right. And they did, January 5th. and it worked out, and they played the game. So the conference, as the statement says, will work with the institutions to reschedule, but the vast majority of that work and what's going to happen is being done by the Big 12, where they're saying, here are the dates that it has to fit in this window. There's been another, there's been two other key issues involved here as this list continues to grow of these postponed games. One of them is, couldn't you take the date of January 30th, which is a week from this Saturday, which is currently scheduled to be the Big 12 SEC Challenge Day, where all the Big 12 schools are playing, you know, 10 of the SEC schools. Couldn't you take that date and say to the SEC, sorry, guys, we're way behind in our league scheduling. We've got to get caught up on that. Couldn't you just do that? And the answer is no. Not from a Big 12 perspective, but from the dreaded four-letter network perspective. ESPN wants those games. They want those intersectional games. And from the folks I've talked to and the understanding that I've gotten, those games will not be altered. So Texas is still assuming protocols are in place and everything's okay and they're healthy and all that other kind of stuff. The game on January 30th in Lexington, Kentucky, between the Longhorns and the Kentucky Wildcats is still on and will stay on the schedule as long as the teams are healthy and ready to go and the protocols in place and all that, or, all that other stuff. That game will happen on the 30th. The and all the other Big 12 games. I was in Waco last night for the Baylor-Kansas game. I was calling it for Westwood One for the National Radio Network, and had a great time working with Fran Fraschilla, normally the ESPN analyst. Fran worked the game with me last night. We had a great time. And Fran's going to join us Thursday morning on the show to talk about some more about this, about the Big 12 and the national college basketball scene, because he's familiar, obviously, with the conferences across the country. And he's a great source. And I had a blast working with him last night. And he'll join us on Thursday morning. But they'll continue to work for that. Baylor is supposed to host Auburn a week from Saturday. And again, assuming everybody's okay and protocols in place and all that, these games will be played. ESPN wants those games. And let's be honest, the conference is going to accrue the television revenue, which is going to be then split in the revenue split with the rest of the league. So somebody said that actually three games, including Baylor. I mentioned that earlier. I said there, it's now three games, three road games, Waco, Fort Worth, and Iowa. I said there's two reasonable driving trips and then the one long flight. So there is that. That's what's still out there for the Longhorns that they're going to have to make up. So that'll happen. So that's one issue, was would the conference consider asking the Southeastern Conference to set aside the Big 12 SEC Challenge so they could use that date as a makeup day? And the answer is no, that those games will be played. By the way, if you're a Longhorn fan, think about this for a moment. If Texas goes into Lexington and beats Kentucky, it'd be the first time in school history, who knows when the next time might be, but it would definitely be the first time in school history that Texas would have beaten in 1 year North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky. Three of the ultimate blue bloods in college basketball. Now, there are those of you who say, really? How blue blood are they? Because North Carolina and Kentucky aren't ranked right now, and neither is Duke. If you're wondering when the last time that happened, when North Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky all were not ranked, 1961, 59 years ago. And the reason, and probably the only reason that happened then, the AP only ranked 10 teams back then. So that's the last time that those three were not ranked, was 1961. Nevertheless, here's Texas' opportunity to own wins over North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky in the same year. And it could happen if assuming the games come off. And again, the schedule will probably be held up for those Big 12 SEC game, Big 12 SEC Challenge contest. The plan will still go forward. So that's one That was one other point of conversation. I'll give you another one. This is growing. Not just around the Big 12, but across the nation. The specter of the possibility of the cancellation of conference tournaments, the postseason tournaments. If leagues get so backlogged, so far behind that they can't play the games, get them all caught up by the time of the conference tournaments, it's been theorized that maybe the leagues would say, we're not going to play our conference tournaments. Again, that's an easy thing for you or me or outside analyst to say. For those schools involved in this, for the conferences involved in this with the television network, it's a far more complicated issue. And it does come down to more than just dollars, but that's a big factor too. It's a huge revenue stream for a league to have its conference tournament, especially the one-bid leagues, the ones that are non-Power Five, your America East or the Southland or the Big South or the Sun Belt or the Patriot League. Those leagues, the one-bid leagues that create some of the Cinderellas of the madness of March, that conference tournament final, it's important to them because of the revenue stream that comes from ESPN for that. So that's another thing that they have to weigh in all this. And then there's been this kind of compromise possible solution that may get tossed out there. Remember that the NCAA tournament for the men is going to be contested entirely in the state of Indiana and primarily in the city of Indianapolis. So they're going to bubble in on all of those to try to do this. Similar thought has been given to possibly taking conference schools, and we'll use the Big 12 as an example since they have several games that need to be made up, and couple them all together, maybe bring them to Kansas City a week early, bubble them in, make up your games before you even get to the conference tournament. That's another issue, that's another possibility that's being mulled over as what could happen. So anyway, that's some things that are going on with that. Coming up, Jeff will be back with us because we've got football notes coming up for Jeff. At just past 11 o'clock this morning, Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com, will join us. We've mentioned their preseason poll came out yesterday. Texas number 9 in the preseason rankings there. We'll get his thoughts on that. And also the issues that college baseball is facing with the scheduling dilemma. Do you go to a 4-game weekend schedule? Seems like most Division I conferences are going to do that. But the Big 12 has yet to announce what's going to happen with that. We'll visit with Kendall about that as well. So you've got a dank, dreary Tuesday morning, but we'll soldier on through it here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
610-0303 or go to sinussnoringent.com. Sinus and snoring specialists. Feel clear, rested, and healthy.
This is Light the Tower here on the Horn. Craig Way with you, and the pride of Northwest Williamson County, proud graduate, Florence High School, and currently a resident of Hays County, but a former all-district offensive lineman for the Florence Buffaloes. Jeff Howe joins us. Jeff Howe, whom I called yesterday as I was rolling in on his hometown of Florence, having to take the back road up to Waco, and I needed a real quick, hey, I'm coming up to 195. I'm going to take Farm to Market Road 487 out of town. Do I want to go left or right when I get up to 195? And Jeff had the ready answer, as a Northwest Williamson County resident would have. So that was good. I appreciate that.
Well, left at the light, right at the only light in town, and then you're on 487.
And I was only on 487 for a few miles because then I turned down, 2853 to go over to make the cross-country run to Salado from there.
People from Florence call it the Salado Road. People from Salado call it the Florence Road. So I guess whichever, whether you're in Williamson County or Bell County, is going to determine which label that road gets.
You cross from Williamson County into Bell County, past the big old stone quarry, the Salado Quarry out there on the way. Yeah. going there. So
past Buzzard Tower on your way?
Yes, saw Buzzard Tower. So did all that. So I appreciate that as I was rolling up the way. You said that's the way you used to go when you were when you would cover a game that would happen in Waco at Baylor. You'd take that far in the market?
Yes, many trips down that road, Craig.
Okay. So you just finished with the Longhorn Blitz podcast, which is coming tonight at 7 o'clock, correct?
I got that done this morning, yes. And, you know, we've been chasing this defensive coordinator stuff, Craig. And look, here's the deal. Here's what I'll tell everybody. We can report at Horns 24/7 right now that, this is how I'm understanding the pronunciation of the last name as of right now. I've heard it pronounced Kwiatkowski, but I've also heard it pronounced Kwiatkowski, Kwiatkowski, the defensive coordinator at Washington. We can report that he is a serious candidate and appears to be the lead candidate right now. We cannot confirm on our end, and I'm not going to report that it's a done deal until we confirm on our end that it's a done deal. There are multiple outlets that cover Washington that are saying it's a done deal. Football Scoop is reporting it's a done deal, but until we do our own independent reporting and confirm it on our end, I'm not going to say it's a done deal. But it's looking like it's headed in that direction clearly. So, Craig, let me just run down. I did some cyber stalking late last night, early this morning.
Of course you did.
Kwiatkowski to look at his defenses. Now,
and by the way, Jeff's Football Notes brought to you, as always, by our friends at Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out online at cpdoors.com.
Thank you, Craig. So I looked at the Washington defense. Now, you've got to remember, Pete Kwiatkowski, he came to Washington when Chris Peterson took over the UW program after Steve Sarkisian left to take the USC job. He was the defensive coordinator from 2014 to 2017. In 2018, Jimmy Lake was getting approached for other jobs. Chris Peterson gave him a promotion, which also involved he took over play calling for 2 years. But Pete Kwiatkowski got it back this last year once Jimmy Lake was elevated to head coach after Chris Peterson's retirement. So, Craig, two big metrics I look at in terms of really how good are you defensively. ESPN measures defensive efficiency, and there are the S&P Plus, now SP Plus, which Bill Connolly curates for ESPN. Now, these are both opponent-adjusted, tempo-adjusted metrics that basically take out garbage time statistics, and it's basically two measurements that in their own way, with their own algorithms, say, okay, when your defense in this case faces good offenses, how good are you? This is how good the Washington defense, Craig. Now, I didn't do this for 2020 because in a four-game season, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it's pretty close to irrelevant where you rank nationally. But here's what Washington did from 2014 to 2019 under Pete Kwiatkowski. Let's start with ESPN's defensive efficiency rankings, 21st, 9th, 7th, 16th, 15th, 13th. In S&P Plus, now SP Plus, from 2014 to 2019, 31st, 27th, 4th, 13th, 4th, 24th. So basically right around a top 20 defense Washington has been the entire time. Now, I'm a firm believer, Craig, that when you win defensively, you win with players. And Washington certainly had some good players over that time. But as you look at, okay, how is this going to translate to the Big 12? He had a really strong track record of his defenses performing very well, defending that Mike Leach air raid offense. Now, we know the offenses in the Big 12 that are tied to the air raid, namely Lincoln Riley's offense at Oklahoma, it is not the purebred true blue air raid that Mike Leach still runs at Mississippi State. But at least it gives you an idea of how he's going to be able, and again, assuming it gets finalized and it's a done deal, that Pete Kwiatkowski is the next defensive coordinator of Texas, that gives you an idea of how he's going to be able to cope with some of the spread offenses that you see in college football's ultimate space and pace league, which is the Big 12. A couple of statistical categories, Craig, that I really, really like from his time at Washington where things trended strongly for the Huskies. One, scoring defense. From 2014 to 2019, the national rankings were as follows. 39th, 13th, 8th, 5th, 5th, 15th. Can you keep teams out of the end zone? And points per game allowed, Craig, in those seasons from 14 to 19, his defenses only gave up more than 20 points per game once during that stretch. And that was obviously one of those years Washington was in the college football playoff when they played Alabama in the Peach Bowl. They ended up losing to Alabama. The other area, Craig, and this is why this hire is so intriguing to me. When Steve Sarkisian was talking about what he wanted in a defensive coordinator, and I asked him this question at his introductory press conference, said he wanted a defensive coordinator playing attacking, aggressive style. And, Craig, to me, that is complementary football. If you are planning to be elite offensively, wide open, dynamic, the way Steve Sarkisian wants to be, at that point, your defensive philosophy, and we've seen this paired up nicely with, think Lincoln Riley and Alex Grinch at Oklahoma, right? If you're elite offensively, you want a defense that's going to take some risks. They're going to take chances because they want to create negative plays. They want to force turnovers because they value possessions. If you give up a touchdown, give up a long touchdown, taking a risk with a blitz or whatever, okay, great. You feel like your offense is good enough to make that back up. You're more concerned with creating turnovers and really disrupting things offensively. So how good has Washington been under Pete Kwiatkowski forcing turnovers? Here's where they rank nationally in turnovers forced from 2014 to 2019.
Because that's what 17th. A lot of folks are going to want to know, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
17th, 13th, 1st, 29th, 56th, 23rd. Let's go to sacks. 2nd, 26th, 19th, 17th, 100th, and 58th. It dropped off in 2018. But, again, that was the year that Jimmy Lake was calling the signals defensively. And then tackles for loss, 43rd, 8th, 40th, 40th, 116th, 87th. So, basically, Craig, his defenses have been really good at keeping teams out of the end zone, forcing turnovers, and creating negative plays behind the line of scrimmage. When you're talking about wanting an aggressive attacking defensive style that can get you that extra possession or two per game that can make all the difference in the world, that is exactly what you want. And again, assuming that everything gets finalized and Pete Kwiatkowski is indeed the next defensive coordinator of Texas, I'll be honest, Craig, this was a name that if you follow college football, you know about him, but credit Steve Sarkisian for keeping this one under wraps as long as he has. Obviously, we'd heard Pete Golding, the Alabama defensive coordinator, his name mentioned. Dan Lanning, it looked like he was going to get this job for about 15 minutes on Friday until that deal fell through. You know, Zach Arnett at Mississippi State was a name that we had heard, but again, as we'd been saying the whole time and I'd been reporting on the show, we didn't hear. We heard that there was interest, but nothing more than that. It was just pretty much interest, and I don't know if there was really that deep of mutual interest on behalf of Texas. You know, Will Muschamp was a name that got mentioned early, but to get this defensive coordinator, Craig, you know, a guy that's making over $1 million a year, one of the highest paid coordinators in college football. Again, assuming everything works out and this thing goes all the way to the end, this is going to be a huge coup for Steve Sarkisian, which also leaves him with one staff position to fill, and then it's to be determined, are you going to hire? Now, his defensive scheme, Craig, it's really interesting because you'll see it listed as a 2-4-5 defense. Two down linemen, that's two inside linebackers. You know, it's a base nickel, but basically your two outside linebackers, you basically got two stand-up defensive ends. Like, think of when Joseph Osai was that stand-up defensive end, that jack position for Chris Ash this last year. You're basically playing it with two stand-up defensive ends. So, base nickel, you've got the ability to be versatile in the front. That leads you to believe, okay, are you going to hire two linebackers coaches? Or are you going to hire which Pete Kwiatkowski has coached those two outside linebacker positions, so you think if he's the defensive coordinator, he's going to work with those two stand-up ends, those two outside linebackers, which thinking, do you probably hire an inside linebackers coach at that point? Do you shuffle some things around? So, again, I'll say it again, assuming this hire, and hopefully we can get some clarity at Horns 24/7. I know my colleagues, Chip Brown, Mike Roach, everybody's working the phones right now while I'm on the air discussing this. But if this gets worked out and he is the next defensive coordinator at Texas, now you're down to one staff position and it's to be determined. Is it inside linebackers? Again, can you hire another DBs coach? Do you move Blake Gideon around, even though we've heard that he's expected to coach safety? So we're almost, Craig, to the finish line here with Steve Sarkisian putting the staff together.
Okay. Jim from Lago Vista on the Specs text line at 337-3776 said, Jeff Howe, love the stats. Somebody else asked, hasn't he had multiple first-round picks from that defense over the years as well? I can think of a few D linemen and secondary players that have
come Vita Bay, Danny Shelton, Buda Baker. I don't know. Was Buda Baker a first-round pick? He might have been a second-round pick. I got to go check that out.
Yeah. So there, and maybe that answers Matt at the World's question, which says, should have just kept Ash. We had a lot better names. Do you want names or do you want a coach? A guy who's put guys in the NFL said, where's Tosh?
And it goes back to defense. It goes back to defensive philosophy too, Craig. I mean, Chris Ash, and there's nothing wrong with his approach to defense. It worked, and I liked his approach. I think sometimes when you're at a place like Texas, if you're recruiting the right kind of players, you need to recruit and developing them the way you need to develop them. You don't need a real exotic scheme, but for Chris Ash, that style of defense, kind of that bend but don't break type defense, didn't really fit that vision of what Steve Sarkisian wants. He wants an aggressive, attacking-style defense, and Pete Kwiatkowski, the scheme he runs, certainly would fit that. Buda Baker was a second round pick off that defense. But Kevin King, Sidney Jones, Vita Vea, Danny Shelton, Marcus Peters, one of the top defensive backs in the league right now. So Taylor Rapp, Craig, a guy that's doing his thing for your Rams. So,
yeah. So does that work for you, Matt, at the World? That list he just ran down of all those guys in the NFL? Does that work for you?
A lot of quality defensive players come out of that UW program.
Yeah, okay. All right. Coming up, we'll have our inconceivable moment there, which crosses a lot of different lines today. We'll do that when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260.
Bad beer, no impurities, no regrets.
Inconceivable. 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 Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
One thing it definitely means is that it's brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and our friends at Austin Orthopedics. And if you've got an issue you needed to have examined, our friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and our friends at Austin Orthopedics can do it. They specialize in preventative care and also minimally invasive treatments. You can give them a look online at austin-orthopedics.com. Jeff, we got a couple of things at work here, and it really has to do with how we're dealing with things right now. How would you say, given, you know, the pandemic world in which we're living in, how you holding up? You doing okay? I mean, by and large, you doing all right?
I got no reason to complain.
Okay. Snoop, you doing okay? You
know? Doesn't mean I won't complain about some things.
You know, I would almost say I feel guilty that it's been good. Life has been good.
Okay. All right. As an unattached male still out there on the prowl, you're still doing okay, though.
I don't know about my emotions, but yes, overall, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Maybe a little lonely.
The reason why I say is because some of these items that I looked at all kind of are a little bit interconnected with depression or the difficulty of it. First of all, one that might help folks feel a little bit better is the whole deal about the COVID-19 vaccine. And, you know, everybody's hoping that it's the ramp up, that the distribution gets big time about it. And ready to step up, apparently, is Starbucks. You say, what? I mean, is this a new latte that's got, you know, Moderna in it? You know, it's got... I'll have a Pfizer Frappuccino, if you don't mind. No, it's not that, but the state of Washington has partnered with Starbucks on the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Several Starbucks staff are going to work full-time on the rollout, choosing and designing vaccination sites, and so they're going to do that. Kevin Johnson, the CEO of Starbucks, approached the state to offer help. He said, I just did the math and figured out at this rate of vaccination, it's going to take 6, 7, maybe 8 years for this country to get completely vaccinated. So we have to dramatically scale this up and accelerate the process. Sounds like he's talking about how you get a cold brew done, you know, there at Starbucks. Anyway, of course, they're headquartered in Seattle. I can tell you that Starbucks did kind of step up for me this morning. I got a notification. First of all, I got an email that said, thank you for your purchase of a Starbucks gift card. $100 to, and it was an email I'd never heard of. No, it wasn't yours, Snoop. It was another one. It was an email that I had no idea who it was. Yeah, there's a fraudulent use of my card. So I immediately hit reply and went, no, not mine purchase, because the purchase just happened. And it wasn't like the one I gave you for Christmas, though. So it was like, this is wrong. Please stop. And then I contacted the credit card company, found out that the card had also been used over the weekend. Someone tried to do like a $62 purchase as well. So I had to shut down the card. But just moments ago, while Jeff was running down the football notes, that Starbucks said we have denied the purchase of that card. So Starbucks stepping up, you know, that's good, because I know a lot of folks aren't really that pleased with Starbucks from time to time.
Craig, yes. Can I just say this? If you've ever contributed to or conspired to commit identity theft, I don't really care the circumstance. You fall directly into that group of people that should be boiled in oil and have your fat sold for soap.
We hadn't had that reference in a while. I'm glad you did that. You know?
Yeah. Always got to mix that in there. You got to save it for a group of people that really deserve it, Craig. And identity thieves are certainly, they're pretty high up on that list.
Yeah. So somebody had gotten hold of, I guess, my card. And I wondered, how could they have done that? And there's lots of different ways, obviously. When I checked into the hotel in Arlington over the weekend through the high school games, the room and tax are directly paid for by Fox, but the old, we need you to put down a card for your incidentals, which I never have any incidentals anyway, but you do it and you swipe the deal. It made me wonder, because the first charge happened the next day off of that. Coincidence? Probably. Maybe. I don't know. It makes you wonder about those kinds of things when it happens like that. Were either of you guys, have you ever been season park pass guys for like Six Flags or Schlitterbahn or any of those? Did you guys ever do that, the season pass thing? I never done it, but we didn't have theme parks where I grew up in North Carolina. Closest one was a park called Carowinds, which was just south of Charlotte. It straddled the state line between North Carolina and South Carolina. So like part of the hook was you get on the roller coaster and it takes off in North Carolina, it goes into South Carolina and wraps back around and all this, and the state line runs right through the park. That was a theme park. By the time it opened, I was in my upper teens and was moving to Texas anyway. So I never purchased a season park pass. Either you guys ever do that?
No.
You know, I think the wife did, Craig, but it was a promotion Fiesta Texas was doing for teachers or something like that.
I got you. Yeah.